Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Bad Company. This is a show provided by Late Night Poets on allpoetry.com, and we have anthologies available on Amazon.com filled with poetry from poets around the world. Glad to be here tonight. I hope everybody's doing all right. So tonight's show is based on a quote, and it's a positive, inspirational quote. It says, when life gives you 100 reasons to break down and cry, show life that you have 1,000,000 reasons to smile and laugh. Stay strong. And that's the gist of tonight's show. I'm going to check the studio real quick here. And we have nobody in the studio. Oh, we do. Okay. Hello, caller 877. How are you?
Hey there. This is Dan Deschino calling in.
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Glad to be here.
That's awesome. Glad to hear it. And we have Thomas. Hello, Thomas. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you all this evening?
Doing good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good.
That's good to hear. Okay, so I'm going to grab the first link here. And if you wouldn't mind, please, Daniel.
I absolutely would not. Give me a second here. Let me find it. I don't see it posted yet. Give me a second here. Let me refresh. Oh, there we go. This is from Lyric is Speaking. This is called Acceptance. Acceptance, the track of that which involves a two-way street, which is needed by all. The face of the ugly side to that, if we shelter the cause of acceptance and all whom are involved. We encounter the flaw of conducting, the act of what it is to actually accept. The delusion of what the thought of might be confusion will not help gain that of acceptance. It takes a village willingly to accept the specific terms being dealt. End poem.
Great read, Daniel. And, you know, I like this poem. I like its straightforward nature. You know, it speaks to what acceptance is and how it's used and, you know, the delusion of what is thought of might be confusion will not help gain that of acceptance. It takes a village willingly to accept the specific terms being dealt. You know, how correct is that? What did you think of the read, Thomas?
I thought it made a very strong stand for the idea that we need to accept first and not judge, be willing to open our arms to each other. I thought it was a very lovely thought.
Great comment. Thank you, Thomas. And Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was great. You know, I like that acceptance is a two-way street, right? We need to, you know, one person can't just accept and the other person doesn't. And then I like the ending. It takes a village willingly to accept. You know, it's not even just a two-way street. You and I accept each other, but you need everybody in the town, and you know, in the town and the village to kind of accept everyone else. You have one bad egg. You know, and it can cause problems for everybody. So acceptance, you know, needs to be universal. I liked it. Nice job, man.
Great comment. Thank you, Daniel.
Nice job.
Okay, here we go. And this is by OMG at CP. And if you wouldn't mind, please, Thomas, would you see this? Posting it now. There we go. Oh, Thomas got dropped. Okay, I'll wait for Thomas to get back here, and we'll. I'll go ahead and read this for OMG. It's CP. When I found myself, I lost you when I found myself. It was late August, and I was dying to get out. The day was hot, the house was cool, birds were singing and choirs were going along. I had a secret I kept and a plan I put into action. I lost you when I found myself. It was worth it, eventually. I loved you when I met you, and that never went away. But even if the stars burned out and the moon collided with the sun, I still lost you underneath a pale sky, and it was all the same month. Wow. I like it. You know, it's hard-hitting. You know, it speaks to losing somebody and then being okay with it. I thought it was quite well written. What did you think, Daniel?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot going on here. You know, I lost you when I found myself is really, really interesting to me. Just that line itself, just says that, you know, you how people can change. You know, you're in a relationship with somebody, friends, whatever it is, and sometimes you find yourself, you change, and the other person doesn't, and you could actually lose them. It was late August. I was dying to get out. The day was hot. The house was cold. Birds were singing. Choirs were joining along. I had a secret I kept and put a plan into action. So, like, you know, this person went outside and found, you know, life, but lost the relationship they had with this other person. So it's, you know, very, very true to life and very, very deep.
Absolutely. Excellent comment. Welcome back, Thomas.
Oh, well, thank you. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, the phone line sometimes drop people.
It's very sharp because it catches the idea that we can't predict with perfect certainty the path we're going to follow and the changes that are going to occur in our life, or that we're going to grow at the same speed and grow together. And there's a certain poignancy in that. I lost you when I found myself. But at the same time, I like the sense in this that finding yourself is of greater importance, and that you won't love the person any less. You just sort of recognize that the relationship isn't working. Very impressive piece, given how short and quick the lines are, and being only two verses, but he covers a lot of territory.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Thomas. Okay, I've got the next link here, and I'm going to post this to the group. This is by Jaskaram. And it's called The Hurt Locker. Lost in the moment, as his heart pounds, breath labored, and fingers growing colder, his fresh open wound gushes, for raw nerves tickled with the air rich with iron, as he collapses in on with himself. Collapses in on the eye with himself. Welcome to the Hurt Locker, where you camouflage it into a blossom, speaking spring with lips fragrant, across which setting sun rests on the slumber, the bluebird courting calls, giving a breather from weariness on dark, on lonely dark nights as we stare at the sparkling black sky. I love how the night has a dark secret mystery to it. Even when the world is at its darkest, it still has a pale, frigid light to guide us. The stars still shimmer and shine on us. Sunshine breaks open the dawn. Storm battered and rain assailed the silence of the dark night, bringing hope again. Life became surreal. Dreams a reality. End of the rainbow. Wow. I liked it. You know, it was a very deep piece, well expressed, and, you know, the fantastic imagery as well. But you can feel the disconnect from the Hurt Locker, you know, in the final stanzas. I liked it a lot. What did you think, Daniel?
Yeah, I agree, absolutely. You know, I think what it captured to me was those moments. You know, so lost is the moment, his heart pounds, breath labored, fingers growing colder, you know, fresh up wound gushes for runner. So this is basically a person, you know, what I get is a person dying, and you get that sometimes that sense. You know, I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. I gave somebody advice. I said, have you ever been close to death? And, have you ever actually happened to you? And I said, it's happened to me. Don't wait till that happens to appreciate life. You know, and that's kind of what this gets to me is, you know, this person at death is now seeing, you know, the beauty of everything around them, you know, kind of, you know, all of a sudden realizing it. And that's a very, very deep. And the way he expressed this was so beautifully, the way he kind of brought everything together. You know, it makes the whole moment, which, you know, could be a horrible moment, beautiful. So, you know, life gives you, and that's perfect for the prompt, right? You know, this person in this horrible state, but still finds hope and still, you know, appreciate life. So,
right.
Yeah. Jess Garin, great job.
Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. And Thomas, what did you think?
Well, I find myself totally in agreement with Dan. It really struck me how the opening, really the first two verses, really hit me like someone was dying and having to confront that this might be the last moment. On lonely dark nights, we stare at the sparkling black sky. I love how the night has a dark secret mystery to it. Even when the world is at its darkest, it still has a pale, frigid light to guide us. And Dan's right, when you have been close to death, you realize that you don't get to decide the time or the when, not even the how. And you better appreciate every moment. That last three lines, life becomes surreal, dreams a reality, end of the rainbow. Because life is the rainbow, and it's real brief, and it flickers real fast. And it's the same thing in terms, for me anyway, in recognizing that you can never tell people that you love them totally as you do before they disappear. So don't waste time. The negatives are always going to be there, but the positives are the seeds you have to plant and bring to bloom. Very beautiful piece.
Well said. Thank you, Thomas. I appreciate that comment. Okay, I have the next poem up. It's by Deanne, and she has a SoundCloud. So play that.
The sun rises still. The fiery crater spumes. Loneliness pervades. The emptiness devours with a salivating blade. Lost breath from sweet beloved, no retrieval. How can we breathe, staggering under death's clobbering upheaval? But a sun-kissed rent cleanses and births human compassion. Stinging tears dry, vision alive, as starry eyes glasten. We hush and listen. To his purpose we yield. Only the Creator's truth saves those bound in deception's field. Then we'll sing and dance. From the ashen heap we rise. Cupping every ivory swell, we cradle Abba's silken prize.
That was a beautiful read. And I like the poem as well, with the way it begins, with the fiery crater spumes, loneliness pervades, the emptiness devours. With salivating blade, you know, that's life coming at you right there. Lost breath from sweet beloved, no retrieval. How can we breathe, staggering under death's clobbering upheaval? Just beautiful. And what did you think, Daniel?
Yeah, I agree. She's got a great. I've never heard. I don't know if I've even read her stuff before, but what a great voice she has. It was a beautiful read with that, and I like, you know, everybody can believe what they want to believe, you know, but, you know, the power of religion and God in the good way, right? We read on the news sometimes the bad stuff, but in a good way it gives people hope. It gives, you know, the belief in you know, the Creator, in that way gives people that hope. And I really like the beginning part. The fiery Creator spumes loneliness, pervades emptiness, and devours with a salivating blade. And it is so true how emptiness and loneliness can just kind of, you know, take somebody over so much. But then, you know, if you deep into religion and you believe and you listen to your heart, you know, you can get that hope. So really, yeah, beautiful piece and an absolutely beautiful read.
Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. And Thomas, what did you think?
I enjoyed the sense of the chaos that life brings at us, in a sense, in the first two verses, and how, yeah, we suddenly have, for many of us, waking up to the fact that no one really knows us is a striking moment of loneliness that some don't seem to survive. But I like how she followed that up with, but a sun-kissed rinse cleanses and births human compassion. Singing tears dry, vision alive, and starry eyes glassing. Because after all that roughness in the beginning, she really recognizes the beauty that is possible before us and what is here for us to grasp. Because then we'll sing and dance, from ashen heaps we rise, cupping every icy swell, we cradle all the silken flies. I just think that's beautiful. I just love the way she finishes it.
Well said. Thank you, Thomas. I'd like to welcome caller area code 75. Who's calling, please?
Oh, my goodness. Don't you have my number memorized by now, Mr. Gray? It's Pam, of course. And hi, Tom. Hi, Dan. Good to hear y'all.
Pam. Hey, Pam.
Hey, Pam. Did you get to hear Deanne's poem?
I did, yes. And she has such a beautiful reading voice. And I really like the sense of hope in this. It reminds me of a couple of things. It makes me think of the fact that today's 9/11, but it also makes me think of some of the areas of the United States and Canada that have had forest fires. And I think it works well for, you know, an extended metaphor for the idea of, you know, hope that comes from the ashes, and how, you know, during such tragic times, we can find that strength and that you know, something to lean on, you know, with each other and with a sense of spirituality. I also particularly liked that she went with the Abba for the name of God, which means basically instead of just meaning father, it's the interpretation is more like daddy. It's more like a father that's really close to his children, that takes time for them and embraces them. So I thought that was a particularly good choice in a God, a deity-like name to go with. And just an excellent write and very well done.
I was wondering that, Pam. Thanks for telling me. I wasn't sure. I never heard that before, so I appreciate
Absolutely.
That.
Yeah, no problem.
So the band, the band is going to have a whole new meeting to me now. I got to listen.
Right? I honestly don't know how that band came up with that name. I'm almost thinking maybe it means something else in Swedish. In Swedish it means dancing queen.
Yeah, cheesy dance music. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, it all depends on where you start, I guess.
Yep.
Wonderful comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, Daniel, I have your write up whenever you're ready.
Sure. 1 second here. Get it. This is called The Always of a New Beginning. How cruel are the haunting mistakes of humanity's past, not as cruel as the hope of righteousness. What joy is there in the beginning with a destiny of mortal sin, in a world where action is forever and time abandons all behind, never to return? Time is a horde of wandering pilgrims in pursuit of the horizon, a horizon in constant motion, spinning from illumination to darkness with moments of twilight. Chase for the light or dark, and the horde spins in circles. The straight path, a never-ending cycle of darkness and light. Exhausted and dizzy from the rhythm of existence, I stop to ponder and watch my caravan disappear in the future, chained to the bonds of time. Freedom with the choices I make, caged to the choices I've made. Defeated by past beginnings, elated by the promise of new ones. I can never start over, but I can always start again. Onward once more into the horizon. End poem.
That was a fantastic write, Daniel. Very introspective and deep. You know, exhausted and dizzy from the rhythm of existence, I stop to ponder and watch my caravan disappear in the future, chained to bonds of time. You know, just a haunting choice of words throughout this, right? Freedom, the choices I make, caged to the choices I've made, defeated by spent beginnings, elated by the promise of new ones. I can never start over, but I can always start again. Onward once more, into the horizon. Just deep and beautiful. Well done, Daniel.
Thank you. I stole Freedom with the Choices I Make, Caged to the Choices I've Made as a parody of a quote by Neil Peart on the song Tom Sawyer. He says, he knows changes aren't permanent, but change is. So I kind of parodied that. That's actually how I came up with the whole poem. Honestly, I was kind of parodying that phrase. So I got to give credit to my hero, Neil Peart.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Daniel. And Thomas, what did you think?
Well, let me just preface with Bach once said, because he used to go around listening to other people, the music they made up for their churches before there were hymnals and stuff, and steal them and go back to court and write up a piece. And he said, artisans borrow, greatness steals.
Right, there you go. That's right.
I always love that. You know, we'll make an excuse for anything, correct?
That's right.
I really like this in the level of passion that I feel in the intensity in the opening two verses. And then it's almost as if you stop and pause and catch yourself and sort of go and recognize your own humanity in a way, and exhausted and dizzy from the rhythm of existence, I stop to ponder and watch my caravan disappear. But I like this idea that, you know, because everything takes place in the moment. And the only way you keep walking is getting up after you fall down. So I really like that ending. It's all very sharp. And just wanted a chance to sort of stop and think about all of it all over again. That was just kind of enjoyable. I liked it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Great comment, Thomas. Thank you. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this is wonderful. I really like the whole message of that you can't go back in the past, but you can move onward. And I like that you mentioned the horizon. Two or three different times in the poem, the importance is if it's about going towards a goal, or it makes me think about those movies where at the end the good guy is going off, the hero is going off to the horizon, but in this poem, you're not just a hero to other people, but a hero to yourself, because you realize that in order to save yourself from your past, you got to just move on and realize that it's not to be, you know, completely just you bury yourself in it. I really like the imagery of time as a horde of wandering pilgrims in pursuit of the horizon, spinning from illumination to darkness with moments of twilight, chase for the light or dark, and the horde spins in circles. The whole idea that you're not going to find a sense of balance if you're continually going after one or the other. So just an excellent write all the way through, and very well done.
Thank you. No, that's what I was going for, so it makes me happy that came across.
Oh, cool.
You know, I was picturing, you know, I was picturing, you know, people kind of going for the, oh, let me go for the sunrise, and you can't, then it turns to dark, and then it turns to sunrise again, so you never catch it, right? So that's what I was, you know, that's what I was picturing, so I appreciate that.
Beautiful imagery. Okay, Thomas, I have your write-up whenever you're ready.
Well, thank you very much. Growing pinions. there is a poem fluttering against my heart, taking on the pulse, dancing with blood cells, whispering scabrous thoughts until I am forced to respond. My long leg retort is full of spine, the ramrod lightning of broad recognition. I share visions. I employ analogy. The magic that words possess become the seed of tangled forests, tied up in moonlight and ragged and green. Footsore and possessed, the miles hitchhike allowed to resonate with the hum of fires and folklore born in glove boxes, maps, and all the paraphernalia used by technology shattered the treasures tied up in the bandana of haphazard accomplishments. I fill my emptiness with liquor and mead, allow God to gather at the hearts beside black holes. Legends are forged in the flames, heroes formed in the recounting of battle, in the loneliness around the heart, romance is born. I am written, and the poetry of me is never to be found tattooed in plain sight. When I die, the song that stirred the words will not disappear in the ashes of my temple. Flight, exploration, the opening of new horizons is where my words lie, unfettered, unbowed, ready to join with those who dream and make it real.
Beautiful read, Thomas. Fantastic write as well. You know, it's very introspective and reflective of, you know, your personal nature as a poet. And, you know, legends are forged in flames, heroes formed in the recounting of battles, in the loneliness around the heart, romance is born. You know, just fantastic imagery there. Wonderful job. What did you think, Daniel?
Yeah, absolutely. I really love this, and you know, to take on the prompt of you know, of hope and of you know, nothing gets you down. That there's always something to go after. You know, using poetry for that is just fantastic. You know, you can see the poet in you coming out of this and just saying, you know, nothing's going to get me down. I'm going to always be able to, you know, release my words, release my poetry. I am written in the poetry of me is never to be found tattooed in plain sight. And that's where I really love that line. To me, it means that it's not, you know, you can't just look at me and see what I'm made of. You can't just look at me and see, you know, what's in me, what the thoughts of me. You know, you need to listen. When I die, the song that stirred words will not disappear in the ashes of my temple. I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna get it out. As long as I have a breath in me, I'm gonna say my poetry. So, yeah, I enjoyed this a lot, Thomas. It's really, really beautiful. Can I ask, did you write this on 11/5/15, or is there a significance to that?
Oh no, a long time ago, I noticed poets who put down the date that they wrote the poem. And I started doing that, but then I also was curious as to when I wrote my poems, early in the evening or late in the morning, or, you know, when do I write most of my poetry? So I started putting the times and the place where I wrote it. And it's just sort of there both for those who kind of come after me and for myself just to fulfill certain curiosities.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think that's great. And you can see this as a kind of a midnight, you know, pondering. I could totally see that. So that's great.
Very neat. Yeah, exactly. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is, I really like this one. I appreciate and enjoy how you open up with the imagery of there's a poem fluttering against my heart, taking on the pulse, dancing with blood cells. You know, there's so many times where there's just words and thoughts and poems and stories that demand to be released. Footsore and Possessed, the miles hitchhike allowed to resonate with the hum of tires and folklore born. The idea of just knowing that there's a story inside you, something that you can share. I am written and the poetry me is never to be found tattooed in plain sight. When I die, the psalmist or the words will not disappear in the ashes of my temple. I really like that. I like the use of the word temple. And I like the idea that because you allow that poetry to come out, because you allow those stories to come out and you write them down, when you pass on, there won't be anything. There will be nothing held back that wasn't meant to be shared. I just think this is a powerful and thoughtful write all the way through and very well done.
Beautiful comment.
I just want to make one little point. Do you know what pinions are?
Yep.
They're the feathers that you fly with.
Feathers. Sorry.
I mean, if I fucked them out of a hawk, they can't fly away, which is what often happens when you're training one. That to me is sort of like it tells you where the poem's going to go, I guess, in a way, in this title.
So growing pinions, so kind of like you're growing your flight, growing the poetic flight to, to emote. Yeah, that's great, man. That's awesome. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Title.
And I'd like to welcome Bobby to the show. Hello, Bobby.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. It's the 703 Club again. Did you get a chance to hear Thomas's poem?
I did, and I thought the word pinion to me is fascinating because it is so multifaceted. As he mentioned, it is the outer part, because there is an inner flight feather, but there's an outer flight feather that to prevent a bird from flying. They clip them, and it's actually called pinioning, which, interestingly enough, is to hold someone down, to hold them to the earth by their arms or their legs, is also called pinioning. So if you to resist that pinioning is to break free of the earth and to fly. So I thought there was a lot of meaning in just that one word.
Yeah, but that's just your opinion. Sorry, I couldn't resist. I had to tell the joke. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
Just my opinion.
That's interesting. I didn't know that meaning of it. That's interesting, but yeah, I couldn't resist.
No, that's
the joke.
Where when you wrestle, where you pin somebody.
yeah. If you pinion them, they're pinned. And so I found the multifaceted meaning of pinion interesting. I also found some of the metaphors are really quite quite engaging and like visual imagery. The magic that words possess become the seeds of tangled forests tied up in moonlight and ragged dreams. Used up before technology shatters the treasure, tied up into bandanas of haphazard accomplishments. That's interesting, I thought it's interesting that I am written and the poetry of me is never to be found tattooed in plain sight. When I die, the song that stirred the words will not disappear in the ashes of my temple. I would disagree with the word never, because if your song is not going to be disappear in the ashes of your temple, then it is tattooed in plain sight.
Ah,
great comment. Thank you, Bobby.
Your poetry has to be larger than just you.
Absolutely.
That's my observation, just based on the last two lines. It's not going to disappear, so you're in plain sight.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And I'd like to welcome Hello. Frank to the show. Hello, Frank.
Hello there, my friends. A fantastic poem there, Thomas. Very, very philosophical, but it also I felt a sense of renewal, rebirth in your poem. It was very, very touching, I would say, you know, to go into the mind and be so introspective. It takes a lot of courage at times because when you do that, you have to admit your faults as well as your accomplishments. And when you come to the conscious realm of accepting all of that, you know, and you get beyond the ego, you find yourself released and you allow that process of rebirth and renew in your mind and your soul or your own self. So I really thought you really did a fantastic job. And you're always very, very poetic. I mean, I've gotten to know you here on the air in your poem through your poetry. And although this poem is, 5 years old, it's still relative. It's still very much, very, very tangible, I would say. It's just, your poetry is always exquisite. I mean, I've been drawn to the style of writing that you have. It's not ordinary, I would say. It's very extraordinary.
Well, Frank, I'm glad you mentioned the date on that because I was also going to mention, I noticed, with it being 5 years old, your more recent work is you can tell that this is an earlier piece because I think your more recent works are much more finely honed.
Yeah, in some ways, but I like some of these older pieces because it's in these. What you might call younger pieces, things like in the glove box, maps and all the paraphernalia used before technology shattered the treasures, tied up in the bandanas of haphazard accomplishment. That's sort of my a personal sort of commercial, you might say. And also,
I understand.
I don't like the way technology steals things from us in certain ways, and I don't do that much anymore. And so sometimes it's good to be reminded of some of these things that lived and breathed in me before.
Well, I quite agree. I look at some of my earlier pieces, and I definitely see an era in my life that certainly is a real departure from where I am now. But these are snapshots in time of all of us. But I'm just saying that your earlier work is quite. I like this piece very much. I can see a difference. I can see a difference in your later pieces. Your pieces now are very sharply honed and very exacting. But I admire your earlier pieces. And this is an example of what you were doing early on. This is great.
Yeah, well, this also shows a lot more beat, the beat influence in my poetry writing than what's going on now.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, so I have the next link up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Pam.
I apologize, Gray, but between the white lettering and how tiny it is, my eyesight is not good enough for this one.
Oh, okay.
If you want, I could read this piece here.
Sure, if you wouldn't mind, please.
All right. Your secret beauty goes like this. Alone by the window in our room, you sit staring at everything, at nothing, while I silently watch unnoticed from the doorway. Your eyes glisten in the moonlight as it filters through dirty glass, adding shimmer to the emotions running down your cheeks. Cloaked in the shuttles of your mood and the night, you ponder the moments while I ponder you. Memories parade across your face, stark and dark, and the moon retreats. Unpredictable as when you suddenly smile, the light returns and seems to leak into the air around you. Joy dances across your features, beautiful and graceful like a ballerina. Brushing the pain away, you laugh into the darkness. And I wonder at the thought that brought you peace. The moment passes and you look once again into the night. Melancholy replaces the dancer and all is still. On your cheeks, first the left, then the right, sadness flows anew. Silver lightning streaking down rain-drenched hills, sitting in our room, you face, your heart takes alone, unknowing that your secret beauty has captured me in the poem.
Fantastic read. And, you know, this is a beautiful rate. How touching is it, you know, to see the beauty through the sadness and just keep loving that person? I thought it was wonderfully done. What did you think, Daniel?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it says this is a front page pick a couple of years ago, and I can totally see why. I mean, just so, so beautiful. And it's, you know, it touches on a couple of different things. You know, it's, you know, through the whole time I'm sitting there thinking of looking at somebody you love, looking at my wife, looking at somebody, you know, and that you, somebody that you know and you can see, and you see that hidden beauty, the beauty that, you know, only I can see, only I know her the way I know her, right, what I can see of her. But then you can also see it the other way, and you know, when you see somebody that you're enamored with, and you know, you see a beauty in them that again only you're seeing that beauty at that time. Nobody else can see what you can see. So the message behind it was very, very beautiful. Just the way that he described it is, you know, one of the first comments here is a stunning rite on the mysterious absorbing trails of the one being watched, beautifully expressed and written. And I agree with that 100%. You know, it just, every line is just so beautiful. I also like the one that kind of struck me was, you ponder the moments while I ponder you. That little pause there, which Frank did a great job reading, I really enjoyed a lot too, kind of that emphasis on that. So yeah, this is very, very beautiful.
Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. And Thomas, what did you think?
Well, I agree great deal with Dan, and it to me, that moment of pondering, I don't know about everybody else, but I know that there are times that I watch my wife and watch her intent upon a job that she's doing or some project she has, and you get caught up in their beauty and you get caught up in their focus. And I thought it was really interesting in this one, when he talks about the sadness and sitting in our room, you face your heartaches alone, because really there are times when we see someone we love caught in a moment where, out of respect for them and recognition of our own limitations, we have to leave them to their thoughts, leave them to their sadness, respect it, and give them the space they need. Ready, of course, to touch and to hold should it be required, but often one of the greatest ways you can love someone sometimes is just to respect that silence and to respect that space. And I really like that last verse and the way he expresses that.
That was a great comment. Thank you, Thomas. And Captain B2, what did you think?
I think this was a deeply emotional and a very intimate rite. And the comments, first off, Frank did a superb job in reading it. And Dan and Thomas's comments were wonderfully acute and very intuitive. This is just such a beautiful piece. And I agree with Thomas 100%. There are times when you have to respect, even though there's very little distance between you and that other person because you're in each other's worlds, you do have to respect that moment in their life when they have to be alone with their grief, and it regardless of you know what's causing it. I remember when my grandmother died, and my mom and my uncle were all trying to put together everything. You know, you pick together the burial outfit, and I was fine. I was in perfect Marine mode. Well, I picked up dresser that had her scent on it, and I just collapsed onto the floor. I had bones, and just sat there and wept just for about 20 minutes, and my mom and my uncle just walked out of the room, left me alone, because I just had to experience that by myself. And there's times when you do have to do that. Try to console them because you feel their pain. You feel their pain, but on the same token, you have to respect their pain. So I think what the comments before are very well said.
Absolutely, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I have to say that I'm in complete concurrence with these comments here. This is a very personal, intimate poem. You know, I give him kudos for, you know, sharing this poem here and writing it. You know, it takes courage to acknowledge, you know, that, you know, our size of humanity, in particular the man. We are molded at times as men to be of a certain type, but feelings are always something that we struggle with, you know, in particular in our relationships. But when it's done, when one realizes that capacity that we all have as men, then you see the beauty there. You start to begin to see the beauty of your, in this case, of your wife. Yes, it took a tragedy for this to be realized in this poem or what's described, but I think it's a moment of time, just what also what was said here about Bobby there. You know, you there is, you know, a sense of allowing one to you know, to grieve, but always being there and realizing that that grief, although that grief is personal for that person, you know, you're there to attempt to understand, to offer the solace that's necessary, of course, in the proper way. But it's a very powerful piece, and I thought it was a beautiful, exquisite lines of poetry that was written and read at the same time. I was taken aback. I was really impressed by this piece here. It's a very beautiful piece.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. And are you back, Pam?
You're welcome.
No, she's not. Okay, Bobby, I've got your write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
I don't mind. I'm finishing up my comment here. I have to say, though, that in light of what I've heard come before me, I feel mine's rather mingy. you know, I took the message of your contest to absolute heart, looking for positive and beauty when the world falls apart around
you. You want two goals, you know that. You want two goals for this, so it's said you want two goals on this poem. That's an accomplishment.
I know, but I mean the things that came before me, I thought were so eloquent. So
yes,
I'm just going to read mine. It's called Aphorisms. And it's a Senryo chain. Wisdom comes in forms unfamiliar to your eyes. Learn to take it in. Hear what others say. Their life lessons can be shared. Their truths ease your path. Walk another's road. Everyone's tale is nuanced. View life through their eyes. Beauty surrounds you. Appreciate nature's gifts. Listen to the birds. Share a child's wonder. Everything is fresh to them. Open minds. See more. Each day is a gift. Live it to your utmost best. No do-overs here. Give your life flavor. Experience is the key. Learn to try new things. If you don't like you, it's never too late to change. Take a different path. Lighten someone's load. Say to them, let me help you. Pay it forward daily. Respect goes both ways. To get it, you must give it. Treat all like yourself. Smile at a stranger. Give random acts of kindness. You may gain new friends. Love with abandon. Embrace the heart of someone. This is life's greatest joy. Life is far too short. Have your time here. Always count. Make a difference. End poem.
That was a beautiful read, and congratulations on the gold. medals. I can see why they chose this as a winner, because each of these stanzas has its own little nugget of wisdom to living life and the beauty of it. And I thought you're just wonderful, shining through in your work. Excellent job, Bobby. What did you think, Dan?
Yeah, I agree. Certainly worthy of the golds on this. You know, this is one of those things that you print out and you put on your desk, and that way you look at it every day. If you have you have a bad day, you look at this and you say, okay, you know what? Yep, let me get some inspiration here. Hey, I mean, I really don't have a favorite one. They're all just, you know, so good, and they all come together the same. You know, I like the beauty surrounds you. You know, and I kind of like how beauty surrounds you comes after, it comes before the share a child's wonder, because to me those two go together. So I can almost see your thought process when you were thinking about that, and then I don't know if you wrote these in order, but I can kind of see how that goes like that, because beauty, a lot of times, you know, when we're a kid, we you know, I always picture kids, and you always see pictures of them, you know, playing in the grass and picking little things up and staring at a blade of grass or a leaf and, like, wondering what it is, and, you know, we don't care anymore. But share a child's wonder with that. Don't lose that, right? So, yeah, really, really beautiful. I loved it a lot.
I actually did write them in a particular order.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Yeah, you can absolutely see it. I can see your thought process, and it's great.
Absolutely, yep. I agree. And Thomas, what did you think?
I just enjoyed this. One, I'm always truthfully awed by the fact that somebody can come up with a list of aphorisms like this, because that's just not in my skill set. By the third or fourth one, I'd run out of anything to say. So to be able to string these together like this, just, I find awe-inspiring. And the other thing is, while each one does stand beautifully on its own, there's an overall theme that just brings them all together. So they work separately beautifully, but they work together, so that the whole is far more than the parts. I was just deeply impressed, to be really honest.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Great comment, Thomas. Thank you. And Pam, what did you think?
Well, first of all, that's a wonderful read. I like how you wrote this in the Senru chain. I remember this from when you wrote it about a year ago, and how I really enjoyed and appreciated how these are each, they connect together, like building blocks, but at the same time stand as individual little tidbits of wisdom to guide through life. And I, too, like the share a child's wonder and smile at a stranger, give random acts of kindness, you may gain new friends, love with abandon, embrace the heart of someone. This is life's greatest joy. You know, it's all about sharing that experience of love and life and laughter and just appreciating the beauty all around you. Just an excellent write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Fantastic comment, Pam. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Hey, I have to say first that the wisdom, well, actually, the writing itself and the sapience you offer here is unmatched. You know, I enjoyed the aphorisms here, but I enjoyed the moral of this piece here and what you're offering here. You know, to write of this way, one, you know, it's like when I do my my wow pieces here, you know, you have to get into a very introspective mood, you know, and mode as well. You have to be very much insightful, not only insightful and introspective, but you also have to realize your own flaws, you know, not just others, but realize the things that are around you, you know. And when I think of, when I hear and read and have read this poem here, I cannot gravitate but to the essence of the poem there, what it offers at its face value. You know, the whole thing that we have that makes us common and not uncommon is our humanity. And when we realize we see a poem like this, and it offers, you know, it just peels the layers of our insecurities, it gets to the point of where it reaches our humanity. And we start to see all these wonderful things that she speaks about here. So it's a very, I thought it was a very powerful, very empowering piece here. And the message and the moral of the piece was one I wish many could adhere to its principles.
Thank you so much. I agree.
Thank you, Frank. You're welcome.
Okay, the next write-up.
You're welcome.
And it's by Martha Gettle, and I'm going to post that, play that SoundCloud.
Rock'em Sock'em by Martha Gettle. I'm not going to be the one to fall. I'm going to be the one standing tall. You can push me, but I won't go down like a rock'em sock'em clown. I'm not the wilting type. I always look life in the eye. I stand up come what may. I'll be here at the end of the day. So do your worst or do your best. I'll be standing at the end of the test. I'm strong and I will hold on. I'll be me long after you're gone. So you're not gonna break my heart. You won't tear my world apart. Life, it won't get me down. I'll pop up like a rock'em sock'em clown. End of poem.
That was great. I really liked that. Absolutely. You know, it was light, but, you know, it had a power to it. You know, it was airy and full of wisdom and depth. I thought it was beautifully done. What did you think, Thomas?
Well, you know, I think it was a Mary Poppins song, you know, all goes down with a teaspoon of sugar. Because she's making really strong points about how you need to deal with things when they're tough and they're rough, and how it's important about, you know, standing strong and being who you are. But she does it with such a great sense of humor and such a wonderful metaphor that you're laughing and agreeing with her. And I think that sometimes is the best way to get the point across.
Well said. Thank you, Thomas. And Bobby, what did you think?
This was an absolutely charming piece of homespun wisdom. This reminds me of some of the things they used to say on Hee Haw or Hullabaloo. It did, but do you know what? This is the type of humor, this is the type of wisdom couched in humor that you would find from Twain or from Will Rogers. They would say it with a twinkle in their eye, and there would be a grain of truth among the chaff, and you knew that what they were saying had its core in truth, but they would reduce it to something simple, and this is what she's done. And the image of the Rock'em Sock'em clown, I remember the commercials when I was a kid, and it's somebody beating the crap out of this thing and it coming right back up like a weeble. It's a great metaphor. It's a great simile. I liked her humor. And I like the wisdom of a piece.
A great comment. Thank you. Thank you, Bobby. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I really enjoyed this. And I have to agree with everyone that, you know, it's got that wisdom in it and that strength, the idea of standing strong no matter what life throws at you. But between the lightheartedness of the rhyme, you know, which just kind of adds a joyful feel to it. And the fact that she went with the metaphor of the title of the Rock'em Sock'em clown, and the idea of just keeping bouncing back like that toy. And, you know, I just, it's fun. It makes you smile, but at the same time, it makes you realize the strength and the endurance of the person who is writing the poem. So excellent writes and very well done.
Thank you, Tam. And Frank, what did you think?
No, I have to agree. If you go beyond the wit here, which has been expressed already here by others, I do agree that this piece has its sense of acknowledgement. It has its sense of empowerment as well. And it had that cogent feeling to it, you know. So in that regard, I really did like the sincerity reflected in this piece here. It's a good write.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. Okay, Pam, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
All right. This is Somewhere Out There, Volume 1, by the writer C, and it goes like this. They were 90 miles outside of East L.A., having lunch in a small cafe. He surprised her with a ring and a rose. 10 years later, they're sharing coffee where he proposed. End poem.
Great read, Pam. And what a lovely write. You know, you can see all this happening as it goes through, you know, the beginning of they were having lunch, and then the end, 10 years later, they're sharing coffee where he proposed. Just a beautifully powerful and touching brevity. What did you think, Thomas?
Well, having been a waiter where a couple came back for their 25th, actually, to have lunch and told me that, you know, this was their the place where he proposed to her. I only been working there for 6 months. I was like, oh, whoa. This way it struck me. It was just one of those things of where there are special places, and there are special times when you go back to those special places. Not so much to try to relive it, but to commemorate and just do it again in a way. I just thought it was lovely. I really enjoyed it.
Great comment. Thank you, Thomas. And Bobby, what did you think?
I thought this was a superb brevity. To be able to tell such a complex story in so few words and so few lines, it says so much with such economy. I really enjoyed it. It reminded me of a scene. Here I am making references to movies again. Movie we bought a zoo at the end, where the widowed father takes his children to the restaurant where he first met their mother and tells them the story of how he first saw her and introduces them to her the way he saw her for the first time. And it reminded me of that, and it's so moving, just the experience that 10 years later they're sharing coffee where he proposed. It says so much.
Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
I have to agree. You know, the poem has a beautiful, beautiful setting, a beautiful message, and a beautiful love that's offered in this piece here. It's a brevity, but it's, you know, it doesn't require length or added words to understand the gist of the poem. And if it's, you know, if it's a poem is based on an actual truth, then it's even more special, I think, that it doesn't need more words. So I thought it was just a very beautiful write. I really like the sentiments expressed in this piece here. I think all of us can relate to certain, you know, experiences of this nature here, when we find, you know, we go to places that we've been to, and we find that common ground in our memories there. So I thought it was it took me on a journey there to my past.
That's a great comment. Thank you, Frank. And Pam, what did you think of the piece that you read?
Oh, I thought this was a wonderful brevity. I like how it says so much with the idea that he mentions the 90 miles and then 10 years later, and they're traveling the same place. And while it doesn't say it specifically, I kind of get the idea that 10 years later, he's still willing to drive that 90 miles to make a day special for her. I think it's a wonderful brevity about love and life, and it's very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Okay, Frank, I have your write up next, and you have a SoundCloud, so I'll play that.
mi amor. When the tempest roars suddenly and the dormant sea is awakened, I can sense in your brooding eyes the waves of your emotion surge, sweeping you into the swirling whirlpool of your broken dreams as you drowned in the tidal force of the memories of a forsaken past. As the early morning stirs with the sober sounds of thunder, the dawn is flattened by your tears of rain that fill up the sea in the somber clouds of the sheets of your lonely nights. But through the mist, a glimpse of a rainbow appears afterwards. With the majestic radiance of the blissful colours of renewal, in the darkness of a sable sky changes into a glimmer of hope. As the reticence of the divine beauty of days of happiness when your eyes were always the hopeful twinkle of my stars. In the walls of the fortress of my arms I hold you tight, never letting you fade into the howling winds of regret. And I am the lasting breath of love giving you existing life. For let me be the gentle touch of the midday breeze you feel. I am a witness to the moonlight gleams of your Sunday smiles and the hopeless echoes of your distant cries of an aching heart. Know that wherever you are, I shall hear you upon this earth, find you through the thick mist in abounding waters of the sea. I shall be the chariot blazing through the blinding mistral, carrying you into the haven of my arms to embrace you, releasing you from the heavy chains of your bitter burden. For I shall free you, and you're so high above like a dove. Just hold on to me. Oh, just hold on to me, mi amor, in the poem.
Bravo, bravo. That was just beautiful throughout. You know, the imagery is fantastic and the emotions are hard-hitting. I really loved the whole poem throughout. Beautiful job, Frank.
I appreciate that. And that song, I'll go ahead. I was going to say really briefly, that song there at the bottom there that you heard in the background, just, I've heard it so many times lately because of my roommate, it just inspired me. I know it's a very inspirational, like a spiritual piece, but I took it as more of an inspiration of another kind, and I really love that song, and it just grew on me after so many times hearing it, and it gave me inspiration for this piece.
Wow, that's beautiful. Glad to hear that. But yeah, it really suited the background of the poem as well. It built in intensity as you went along and then, you know, died down as you ended the piece.
Yeah.
Just a beautiful read. Excellent, right?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Well, I really enjoyed it. He read it with such lyricism that it was almost as if he was singing the words as much as simply reading them. And it is such a lovely celebration and paean to a woman and one's love for them and understanding that everything has not been wonderful and perfect in life at times, and that you can understand that and you can accept that and you seek to heal that. It's really beautiful, quite striking, and wondrous at the same time. Very well done, Frank.
Thank you very much, sir, my friend. I appreciate that.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Thomas. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this is wonderful. Great read. I really like the imagery in it, and I like the message of the idea that when you're going through the storms of life, you know, people even find strength in leaning against someone or offering yourself up as the one to be leaned against. You know, the whole idea of two people like finding that strength and that courage that they need when life really hits the hardest. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you very much, Stefan. I appreciate great. That.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think?
I have to say, Frank, I think this is one of your finest pieces. You always have such a your pieces have such a tide, such an urgency. I mean, you get caught up from the first, and you're swept along in your writing. I am as the reader, and most all of your pieces, which I've grown to really enjoy, are very passionate. This has a different tone to it. It has one of amity, of alliance, of support, of companionship with another person to be there for them whenever they need you. The metaphors in here are just beautiful. Sweeping you into the swirling whirlpool of your broken dreams, the somber clouds of the sheets of your lonely night. There are just some real. I'm loath to try and pick them out of here because I feel like I'd rather eat it whole than just nibble at it. It's just. I really really enjoyed it. I liked the different sense I got from it of support and of emotion, the word is eluding me, regard and just a loving support for someone, and I really, really liked it.
Well, I appreciate that, my friend. And with that, I'm going to have to go now. I just want to say thank you for everyone. It was a great time. I always enjoy the company of all of you. In Gray, another night. Great show. And carry on, my friend. Take care, my friend.
Buenas noches.
Take care.
Buenas noches.
Buenas noches. Okay, it's just me with the ladies now. So,
woohoo! We agree all for ourselves, Bobby. How lucky are we?
Let's make a gray eye sandwich.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, that's the next write up here is by Andrew Bittman, and it's called The Happiness Theory. What does it mean to be happy? Does happiness come from being around the right people? Does it come from the quality of one's life? Does it come from the life fully examined? Or does it come from the life unexamined? Perhaps it's the joy people find once they realize that everything that has ever happened to them has occurred with a purpose or a reason, that serendipity pursues those who actively seek it. Because happiness is not a formula, but rather the complete surrender to the unknown and the acceptance of even the unfortunate is a blessing. Wow. End poem. It's beautiful. I really liked, the introspective nature of it and, the message in it. An acceptance of even the unfortunate is a blessing. Just wonderfully haunting. What did you think, Bobby?
Deeply philosophical. And I noticed at the bottom that it was inspired by Langston Hughes' Dream Deferred. And I thought that was very interesting because what happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? It's interesting that he took of what seems like a rather negative piece done by Langston Hughes and has really spun it into something quite optimistic. And the philosophy is almost I get a feeling of Zen, of Buddhism from the general tenor of the piece, in that it is to go forth with serenity and placid acceptance and take whatever life gives you and work with it to make it positive for you, which is not, the acceptance of even the unfortunate as a blessing. And that's actually from Buddha, says that even a negative experience can be positive, have something positive in it. The goal is to find it. And I've quoted that rather poorly, but I think I've expressed the essence of it. But and that seems to be what is being said here. And it, so it has a very spiritual feel to it.
Absolutely, I agree. Thank you, Bobby. And Pam, what did you think?
I thought this is a wonderful philosophical right. And I ask, you know, I like the questions it asks. Does it come from the quality of one's life? Does it come with the full life fully examined? Or does it come from the life unexamined? The idea of, you know, where does happiness come from? I like that he asks the question and then, you know, provides food for thought for the answers. That serendipity pursues those who actively seek it, because happiness is not a formula, but rather a complete surrender to the unknown. I like the idea that it's not a formula that, you know, everybody has to follow the same formula in order to find happiness, but rather just getting out there and actively pursuing. And so just an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great comment. Okay, Pam, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
I would be happy to. Let me just get back to my Kindle Fire, because I tend to be a pacer. And here we go. This is Choosing to Laugh by Robbie's Poetry, and it goes like this. Choosing to laugh, I laugh at all the delightful and silly things, the cocking head of a small bird attracting a mate, the humorous greeting card for a loved parent. I choose to laugh at all these delightful things and more. When the world seems it will overwhelm you with its woe, I take great pride in choosing to laugh at that which brings joy, not a laugh at others' expense, for there is more than enough of that in this world. My sense of such all the delightful things grows sharper in refinement. As I narrow my focus to all the foibles and little absurdities of the everyday, it acts as my saving grace for those times when the most absurd comes into play, as the machinations of humankind that make me wonder where the world is going. I continue to focus on these little things to save my soul from feeling wearied and worn, and I thank myself for the day I decided to focus on all the little things, lest my spirit someday eventually feels torn. End poem.
Well, that was a wonderful read, Pam, and what a beautifully perspective piece. You know, it pulls you in and holds you right through till the end with his description of nature and, you know, his explanations of why he's choosing to laugh. You know, I thought it was beautifully done. What did you think, Bobby?
I also liked it. I liked the philosophy in it. It talks, it speaks to the joy of little things and the fact that if you but look around you, you're surrounded by them. It's in the beauty of the world, just simple little things, and just like someone, a stranger smiling at you, or a bird in a tree singing. I subscribe to this wholeheartedly. I'm sure many people think me quite mad because I'll be walking along and I'll hear a bird in a tree. I'll stop, and I'll look up and I'll look at the bird and I'll talk to the bird. But it's because it's just and usually or on my deck the Carolina Wren is out there in my garden and he's singing and there's so much song and such a little tiny animal. I look at him and I tell him thank you. So it's being able to find those points of joy and extract them and realize that they're never too small.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Pam, what did you think of the write that you read?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I really enjoyed this. I like how it's his personal testimony, his personal journey of deciding to find happiness in the little things, of finding joy in life. And it's great all the way through, but a couple things that really stood out to me is, first of all, the use of the word foibles. I really enjoyed that. That's just, that word alone is absolutely delightful. I also like that he, you know, mentions that laugh about the little silly things. Don't laugh at people. Don't laugh at other people's expense, because there's already enough of that going on in the world. Rather, just find those simple joys that make you happy, that doesn't hurt anybody else. I think that's a wonderful, positive message and very well done.
That was a great comment. Thank you, Pam. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next piece here. And if you wouldn't mind, please, Bobby, when you see this.
Not at all. I had my hand raised in the background anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, good. All righty, here we go. Swing into action here. We have The Artist by C.L. Howard. My family. A picture. Through blurry eyes at rooster's call, the scene of an artistic scrawl comes slowly into view. A picture any other day on a door of white that stays decay, changed both in meaning and view. Given many years ago by a hand of youth, eyes aglow, I gaze upon the master work anew. Across the top in letters bold, the title of the pictures told my family. Simple words is read. In total, 1 + 1, fivefold, youth on right, to the left the old, a name above every smiling head. Each extending hands to hold the message worth beyond all gold, his greatest treasure, we, the common thread. Throughout the years and every loss, every cost, in battles won and battles lost, his one and only constant was the sum. With wisdom far surpassing years and ageless truth, to conquer fears, his drawing offers healing to the numb. Hand in hand, will not exhaust, but take the path of Robert Frost, and through the bond of family, overcome. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby.
And
beautiful read. It's such a touching read. Yeah, in the author's notes.
Author's note. Yes. This is a picture of my youngest son, Garen, drew many years ago. It has always hung on our refrigerator door. A little info on Garen. Garen was born with cystic fibrosis and spent a lot of time in hospitals throughout his life. He's had several surgeries to include 2 double lung transplants. Throughout all of this, we, his family, have never left his side no matter what, and we never will no matter what. This poem is very rough at this point, just needed to get the idea on paper, and it was written 3 years ago. I'd say being rough, it doesn't need any kind of polishing.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it was very sentimental, touching, right? You know, it beholds the beauty of love in this picture of his family. And, you know, when you hear about who it was that drew the picture, it just makes it that much more hard-hitting and drives the ball home. As far as, you know, the subject matter goes, I thought it was just wonderfully right, sentimental and beautiful. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is a beautiful, heartfelt write. I'm glad that he shared it with us and that he also shared the picture that his son drew. And what I like about the picture is the fact that every person in the family is holding hands. It's just a really just wonderful write on how the family, the strength of them coming together in difficult times and just holding on to each other. and beautiful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think?
I enjoyed it. I liked the background that he provided. The poem itself flows beautifully. It is just a wonderful storytelling, and in examining the picture, which was the inspiration, the picture drawn by his son, I noticed, interestingly enough, not only is it, the entire family forms a chain, an unbroken chain. They're holding hands. Even though there are no hands there. But I also find, interestingly enough, everyone is dressed pretty much the same. So in his eyes, everyone in the family is equal.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Thank you, Bobby. That was a great note, great observation. Excellent job. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here, and I'm going to post that into the group. There we go. This is by Casey Day, and it's called Butterfly Kisses. Golden sun trickles through, dusty shades illuminating your skin. I trace my nails along your shoulder in a question mark. I ponder if you are an angel or if God just spent a little more time putting you together. Your hand slides up to find mine. Our fingers tangle. Your body rises and our eyes meet. A playful stare. In the stillness, I wonder if you can hear the pattering of butterflies fill my stomach. I lean forward to taste your parting lips. Your wings flutter from my body onto yours, and we ignite into flames, tangling our torch back and forth, melting into this blissful youth wrapped up in silk sheets. And that was for the Art of Sensuality show last week. So thank you for that, Casey. Appreciate that. Just a beautiful touching, right? You know, you can see all this happening and be with her as she goes through these things. Just a wonderful, right? What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is a beautiful sensual rite. I like the fact that it's more than just about the physical sensuality, but also about the connection felt between the two people. I really like the imagery in this. I trace my nails along your shoulder in a question mark, almost as if a question is being asked, you know, of the other person. And then the wings flutter from my body into yours, and we ignite in the flame, tangling our torch back and forth. There's such a wonderful sharing of passion within this rite, beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think? Hello, Bobby.
Yes, I was busy being profound to no one. I think she's taken the emotions here that we feel when we're near someone who's important to us or significant to our love. When we're near to our love, the sensations are described here with such eloquence. The playfulness in the eye, the butterflies filling her stomach. Oh my God! I think we've all felt that the butterflies in the stomach, or I've heard someone call them squirrels. I think I'd rather stick to butterflies. But the sensation of the floor dropping out from underneath you, the rush, the roar in your ears from just the feeling of being touched by someone. This is just such a beautiful right, and it doesn't take it into it's got passion, but it's got passion with poise. It talks about the intimacy, the emotional intimacy of the relationship, and that's why I think it is so beautifully said. And I think it talks in the last two lines. The way it strikes me is melting into blissful youth wrapped in silk sheets. They may not be young, but every time they touch one another, that's how they feel.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you for that. Okay, so I've got the next poem here. Oh, sorry, that's a repeat. Wrong poem.
Read it again?
Yeah, exactly. So this next one's by Budo, and he has a SoundCloud. So I will post that and play the SoundCloud.
Hey.
Okay, there we go. And Budo, here we go. Enjoyed it, you know. the imagery that you get through the lyrics is amazing and powerful, especially where he says, catch her rainbow when it's thrown in the shallows, not alone. Find the gold in stellar folds of star-crossed stories yet untold, of stories yet untold. Just so hauntingly beautiful, right? What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree. It is hauntingly beautiful. I like how it touches on memory, as if thinking about someone who used to be. And all the wonderful ethereal and cosmic imagery just fits perfect with the whole idea of someone who is dancing in the heavens. I really like catch a rainbow when it's thrown in the shells, not alone, find the golden filler fold, the stars cross stories yet untold, the stories yet untold. And you know, I like that in this write about memories, there's that line about stories that are yet untold, because there's still more memories to be made. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great comment. And Bobby, what did you think?
I like this a lot. I like the story he's telling in this. The lyrics are beautiful. I like the visual imagery. Robe is veiled in cosmic dust, a comet's trail of wanderlust. Watch her trace across the sky in the blink of an eye. That's lovely. It's beautiful. The rest of the song just tells this wonderful story about this woman that he thinks is just heavenly. She's celestial, and he's got her up in the heavens, fine gold in the stellar folds of star-crossed stories yet untold. Again, that I agree with Pam that the lines are just lovely. I think this is one of his better pieces.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Okay, Pam, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
I'd be happy to. All right. Up next is Million and One by Kel Smiles, and it goes like this. When I was young, I naively believed that money bought happiness, because that's what Mommy and Daddy fought about the most. In school, having pretty clothes was all the rage. Looking good was everything, but bullied is different. So having smarts were nerdy, not at all trendy. Nothing wrong with having money. It does come in handy, for it provides stability and occasionally even buys great things or for seeking new places. Of course, money has to be earned. Not everyone was born with a silver spoon, some with no spoon at all, which is actually even sadder. People, neighbors, friends, and family, they make me happy. With smiles, laughter, love, and hugs during the most difficult times of loss of beloved people. End poem.
Great read, Pam. And, you know, that was a wonderful entry into the contest as well. You know, because you can, you know, life throws these things at you which are heartbreaking and hard. And, you know, you grow up with this notion of money buying happiness, and it doesn't, when it's actually friends and family and neighbors that provide the laughter and love and hugs during the most difficult times of loss of beloved people. You know, when you lose people, you seek comfort from those around you, and generally you find it there. Just a beautiful write. What did you think, Bobby?
I like the philosophy of it. It's interesting how it narrows its focus as it progresses. It talks about money and having money and material possessions being important in school, and where being smart wasn't. But then it goes on to talk about people who aren't born with the advantages. No spoon at all. I like that. And then it delves into the real riches, which are friends and family, laughter, love, and hugs. I think it has a very significant message.
Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I really liked the message in this. I like how she takes us back to the thoughts of childhood, of youth, with the idea that, you know, that thinking that money brought happiness because that's what mommy and daddy fought about the most. And it's true. That's what couples and, you know, tend to fight about the most. And I like that she has in that little touch of nothing wrong with having money. The problem is when it becomes, you know, your main source of happiness. And I like that the message in this is that you need to find your source of happiness with not with money, but with the people that surround you and the people that love you and care about you. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Fantastic comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, I have the next write-up, please, Bobby.
All righty. And see this up here. Laughing Gas by Barta Gales. Laughing Gas. Laughing Gas, gird for fierce, forceful dig, is sensational signaling, searing steady impact impinging on unconsciousness, underlying means making unawareness, required requested of my tiny cavity, could not contain enamel protrusions number 32. Therefore, extraction prescribed overdue. On count of four, had to lose experienced intensity building bombardment. End poem.
Wow. That was, you know, a trip to the dentist for sure, if I ever saw one. You know, when the laughing gas is geared for fierce, forceful dig, you know, when they're going to dig in deep and it's going to hurt if you're not a little bit numbed to it. So I thought it was wonderfully expressed. What did you think, Pam?
I enjoy Barta's writing because she has such a style that's all her own. And I like how she takes us along with her experience of going to the dentist and the effects of the laughing gas. So just a clever write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think?
I've only had nitrous oxide once in my life. And it is a very strange sensation. Matter of fact, it was foreign extraction. And after I was fully under its effects, I told the dentist I didn't care if he took them all. And I didn't care. But I like the way she has taken something that is common every day, or I should say common to, you know, to everyone, a trip to the dentist, some more excruciating than others. I know that my late partner would have rather taken a beating than go to the dentist. You know, he would have put a gun to his head. He would have asked how long he had to make up his mind. This is a great piece that just takes something commonplace and really puts a personal spin on it and makes it relatable to everyone. Therefore, extraction prescribed overdue. That I think just about everyone can kind of go, uh-huh, yeah, been there. It's just, at count of four, had to lose experience intensity, building bombardment. It's a delightful piece. It takes a really an unpleasant event and riddles it with humor.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Bobby. A great read and excellent comment. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next piece here. And this is by Becky Upchurch. I'll read this for Becky. There we go. This is called Smiley Jean. There once was an emoji whose name was Smiley Jean. His happy face was every place, and both eyes greener than green. He came upon an angry crowd, hoping his smile was bright, but the further in the dimmer the grin, and someone punched out his light. Laid out flat, while Smiley Jean was carried to ER, There he woke, his face all broke, and he saw he had a shiner. That's the thing with Smiley Jean. No one can break his smile. Just because he's behind some gods, you'll never see him hostile. I liked it. It was a wonderful little brevity, you know, about an emoji that is a smiley face and the repercussions of having that smiley face. Wonderful job. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I enjoyed it. This is a delightful rhyming poem. I like that she went with the idea of an emoji that always constantly smiling. And, you know, well, it has a positive message in the idea of always, you know, having a good attitude. It also has a serious message of how, you know, the angry crowd wants everybody to be just as angry as them, that misery loves company. So just a really wonderful write all the way through and very well done.
Excellent comment, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think?
I liked it. It's whimsical. I've never seen a poem about an emoji before. Of course, there's nothing wrong. I wrote a poem about autocorrect. So, not being my friend. But this is it's humorous. It's lighthearted. And it does, like Pam says, it has its underlying message that sometimes some people cannot tolerate seeing someone happy all the time, and they've got to do something whatever's within their power to try and share whatever's making them miserable with the person that's happy. And I like the fact that in the end, even though he's all bandaged up, he's still happy.
Absolutely, yeah. Great comment, thank you. Okay, so I'm going to post the next poem here. And just because we mentioned it, I'm going to read this. It's because Autocorrect by Gray Eye Smith. Autocorrect. You are an unwelcome reject as you blurt the most misconstrued words at the most inopportune moments. If I could reach into my phone, grab your neck, and choke you like Homer Simpson chokes Bart, saying, "Why, you little..." You have no time, no rhyme or reason. You work against me like a traitor committing treason. As I hit send, I realize you did it again, giving out words not spoken, causing people to laugh and start joking. So hear me now and hear me good. I'm going to shut you down, for you have made me into a clown for the last time. Rest in peace, autocorrect. And then my author's notes, I put, I am serious. Too funny. But what did you think of it, right, Pam?
Oh, that was definitely funny. I think everybody can relate to that. I really like the imagery of, if I could reach into my phone, grab your neck, and choke you like Homer Simpson chokes Bart, saying, "Why, you little dot, dot, dot." Yeah, I have felt many times that way about autocorrect. And I do like that you put in your AN, I am serious. This is just wonderful humor all the way through. And I think the cherry on the cake was rest in peace, autocorrect. Very well done, Gray.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And Bobby, what did you think?
I also enjoy it. It's very relatable. I don't think any of us who partakes of modern technology has not been victimized at some point by the blasted, I call it blasted autocorrect. I wrote a Senryu. I wrote, I called it a villain in my verse, and vile autocorrect. The villain in all I write says what I don't mean. I have learned that, especially when I use dictation on my phone, to go back and make sure that I proof what I have just dictated, because it has its nasty little iterative way of frapping and morphing things that I write. And then you, of course, and you're doing postscripts afterward going, no, I didn't, I meant a pronto, not porno.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to post the next poem up here, if you wouldn't mind, please, Pam.
I would be happy to. And this is Naked Smile by Betty Page, and it goes like this. Why must people be so greedy on a day when you should be thankful? How much does this cost you, really, when your belly is already really full? Smiles are free, so why not give one? Are we too wrapped up in who works, who's on booze, who's going to school, who in life, who's won? Generosity should not pick and choose. When we get to heaven, what will we keep and show God? Will it be our status, our career, our house, cars, or education? Nope, it will be none of those things. Dare I say something so odd? We will stand naked, wearing nothing but our smile and how we loved others as our reputation. End poem.
Well, fantastic read, Pam. I really like it. You know, I mean, here we stand before God, and is it all of our accomplishments in life that makes us shine to him, or is our smile, right? I mean, you know, that shining smile will win you a place into heaven, I believe. And what did you think, Bobby?
This is a real departure for Betty Page. I really like it. When Betty's writing gets philosophical, it does so with a great deal of profound thought. And I love the smiles are free, so why not give one? And generosity should not pick and choose. I like the last line. We will all stand naked wearing nothing but our smile and how we loved others as our reputation. Boy, that says it all right there. And I'm a firm believer in this. I'll smile at total strangers. And sometimes the response is just stunning because you see someone who got rain clouds over their head, and you look them in the eye and you smile at them, and you get this sunny smile back that just chases all the rain clouds away. Beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, this is wonderful. I really enjoyed the message here of don't judge other people. Be generous with your smile and your time. And I do like that ending, too, with the whole idea of just, you know, you're not going to take anything with you. Stand naked before God with nothing but your smile and, you know, the reputation of how you treated others no matter what their station in life. So excellent write and very well done.
That was a great comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, I would put the next poem up if you wouldn't mind, please, Bobby.
Oh, not at all. We have 2 minutes, so I better read really fast. Shuttered Breaths by Blue Harrison. Shuttered Breaths. Will you remember me? Wishbone smile and a stillness unreconciled to silence. My breath with wild pulse stampede runs to you. Breaths stuttered, wet, and rampant, spilling ink into skies that dare dip below recognition. The material seams ripped and rebound. I seek the thunder of your whispered sound. What will become of the empty spaces lined with your stark depth? A lamp and a lioness purr deep, unchained, and who remains afraid? Those who cannot hear would never be able to stain hearts in rivers of Mary Lou Blue. I submerge, drink to drown your words, unable to suffer those in disintegrating banks, ignorant of divine stones of writ woman. End poem.
Excellent read, Bobby. And in the author's notes, it says, written for and dedicated to Mary Lou Healy. Not sure who that is, but it was a wonderful write, you know, beautiful imagery, and you can feel the emotions in this, what will become of the empty spaces lined with your stark depth, a lamp and lioness per deep unchained, who remains unafraid. It's wonderful, right? What did you think, Pam?
Well, first of all, I do have to mention that Mary Lou Healy was a poet on All Poetry who actually just passed away last month. So, you know, our prayers and thoughts go out to her and her family. And I think this is a beautiful dedication and the idea of how somebody affects us and how they're both their life, their poetry, and their passing allows us to have that opportunity to catch our breath and to truly feel something. So just an excellent heartfelt write all the way through and very well done.
That was a wonderful comment, Pam. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
I was not familiar with Mary Lou's writing, but I agree that this is a very beautiful homage to another poet.
Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. A fabulous read. Well, thank you for joining me tonight, ladies. I appreciate your time, your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, poets. Good night, all.
Buenas noches.
Good night, Pam. She must be gone. Goodbye, everybody.